Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven, of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today's appointed gospel reading does the preacher zero favors whatsoever. And upon reading it earlier this week, I immediately regretted not having Vicar Paisley preach this one. You see, today's reading is a part of what scholars call the Sermon on the Plain. And part of the reading includes Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Now, unlike the Gospel of Matthew, which most of us probably think of, and you might have noticed, I started going off on that Kingdom of Heaven instead of Kingdom of God today, going back to Matthew's version. But unlike that Gospel of Matthew, Luke doesn't spiritualize the Beatitudes before us. You see, in Matthew, what is said, blessed are you, or in Luke here, what is said, blessed are you who are poor, is read in Matthew as blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke here is blunt and clear. Matthew, for me at least, makes it a little bit more palatable. And so to find a way out from Luke's words today, I read scholar after scholar's take on this passage. I opened biblical commentaries, and I went deep into some dusty old books from seminary to find a way out, any way out. And so as I munched on some food, I searched for a loophole in the phrase, "Blessed are you who are hungry." As I rejoiced at a wedding last night, I looked for some kind of secret interpretation that took the edge off of that statement about blessed are you who weep now. I thought this all, it has to be a metaphor. And I believe there must be something deeper that I could just uncover. And lucky for me, I had a whole extra hour last night to search for vindication that living in one of the world's richest countries is actually acceptable and okay. But sometime last night, I got tired of searching. And maybe, just maybe, That is because what Jesus said here is exactly what he meant. And so what exactly did Jesus mean? I mean, sometimes the binary of this text, paired with Dante's third century writings and 2,000 years of pretty questionable theology, can get us stuck among the blesseds and the woes. We can accidentally believe that the blesseds will be granted an afterlife of heavenly proportions, and those who are hearing and embodying the woes, well, they will have a fire-filled afterlife. Yet, Dr. Matt Skinner suggests that we look at the Greek of these terms translated here as blessed and better translate that as unburdened or satisfied. And while we look at the woe, we might see it as more like yikes or look out, be careful. And so, then we enter today's passage and we find Jesus proclaiming relief for the burdened. And to those with ease, he's telling them, look out, be careful. Now, what Jesus does not say is that God's reign is a zero-sum game where every winner corresponds to a loser. Jesus does not say that every one of today's pleasures will get repaid with punishment tomorrow or in some kind of afterlife. Jesus does not even say that every single person will receive plenty and security in the future. Rather, as Dr. Skinner notes, Jesus is urging his hearers to reassess their lives in light of God's unfolding reign. The blesseds are going to have a much easier time, if we like it or not, understanding God's way of acting in the world. While those who are told, look out, are reminded that Jesus sees the world with very different glasses on. Jesus sees the world through lenses that distort our conventional values. And so those who have the advantage by our conventional understanding, namely those of us with money and food and comfort and self-won security and respectability and the like, all of those people are the ones that are most likely to misunderstand God's manner of engaging in the world. And we see how God has engaged with the world throughout all of Luke's gospel. We have a God who was testified by Mary, who was oh so pregnant at the time. We have a God who specifically comes to the poor and the prisoner and the short-sighted. A God who consistently upends our Western value systems and brings a worldview where radical generosity reigns supreme, where servant leadership is C-suite management, where nonviolent peacemaking is a military-grade weapon, where forgiveness is the only tweet worth tweeting, and where truth is fashionable in every season. And those values are God's reality. It is the reality that we all share in as communion of saints. For all who were baptized, both those living and those who have died, share in a confident hopefulness that God's new reality will come in this place. It's a new social reality that those who have gone before us in all of their imperfection and in all of their grace have helped us to just make a minimal change towards making God's reality possible. And so it's in our baptisms that we inherit a gift of God's abundant grace. A gift that, if you're like me, is sometimes forgotten, but other times is cherished. It's a gift that God abundantly bestows on all people without exception. And so then in those moments that are beyond our understanding, we see glimpses of God's love in dear ones like Jose and Rosie. In tender places, we see God's justice and truth growing in loved ones like Gordon and Stan. And God's grace also continues in this place. For each time that we gather at this table to receive a holy meal, we are joined by all of the saints who have died, and we are joined by all of the saints who are living. So we're joined with those who have died, like Frank and Paul and Kyle, and we're also joined by those living saints, the ones that drive us mad, and the ones that calm our spirits. And so as we come forward here, we eat the bread of life with Saint Silas, and with Saint Cain, and with Saint Nathan. We eat God's bread of life, and we experience a God whose gifts know no barriers in age or in background. And so as we come forward here with Jackson, and Cora, and Pearl, and Everett, we experience the welcome of our God in every age. And as we grow together with Mauve, with Vaughn, and Sloan, and Charleston, we grow together as one mystical body of God's people, seeking to embody God's love for all people. And so, friends, in a few short moments, we are going to recall the many people who have passed and the many people who have joined this communion of saints with us together. And as we give thanks for all of them in this place, we have the opportunity to give thanks for the ways we've seen God through those living and those who have died. And at the same time, we also acknowledge the ways that God comes to bring an entirely new way for all of us to be together. It's a way that our unburdened siblings can be our primary teachers, those who are hungry, those who are poor, those who are weeping. And it is a way that follows a different pathway that is filled with love and peace and truth. My friends, that pathway that we come to know, that is the pathway that brings eternal life for all. Amen.